25. How did she get here? Why is she dressed like this? Did Minuteman somehow manage to recruit her, or has she secretly been with them from the beginning? She wasn't too far from the truck explosion. Could that have been her? It would explain why it wasn't detonated until we'd stepped away. But would she really do that to me? I can't believe it's possible. She wouldn't betray me. This whole time, lost in the past, the only thing I've been sure of is Cassie's friendship, that she'd have my back no matter what. I should have kept looking. I should have found her first. I'm sorry, I whisper, tears dripping onto her blood-soaked cheek. You knew her? Enola asks, crouching beside me. Her voice isn't exactly compassion, but I get the sense she understands my grief. She's lost people too. Given the era she's from, probably a lot. When I can't manage a reply, she says, You loved her. The words hurt. My chest constricts. Desperate for air, I crawl away from the body while Enola replaces the mask.
Who is it?
Owen's small voice makes me flinch from sorrow's grasp. I wipe an arm across my face, smearing tears, but doing little else to hide my anguish. When I ignore him, he asks again a little louder,
Who is it?
I can't do it. I can't tell him. The pain I'm feeling now is familiar. An old friend come to pay me a visit. I've regained my father at the cost of my best friend, who should have been more. I'm caught off guard when I'm shoved from the side.
Who is it?
Owen shouts, tears already in his eyes. You don't know her, I say. Not yet. I push myself up, trying to shove down my emotions, not just for Owen, but for all of us. This is the second worst moment of my life, but every second we linger puts me in greater danger of having to relive the first. When I look at my father, I see wet eyes and intense compassion that catches me off guard. In that moment, there is no doubt. He knows. Who was under that mask? Who I am. And that in my time, he's no longer around. My feeling of loss compounds, and when my father reaches his arms out to me, I'm undone. I all but fall into his embrace. He rubs my back as I weep into his shoulder, all the military training in the world unable to cope with my emotional cauldron. I got you, he says. I'm not sure how long we stand like that. Probably not long enough. When I lean back, Owen sniffles and wipes his nose. He must sense the same thing my father does. Seeing him is hard. It's amazing, but it's left me vulnerable, for the first time in a long time. I've spent my whole life walled up and cut off. Hell, it took Cassie's death for me to admit I loved her. No wonder nothing ever worked out between us. With my father back and the chance to save his life within reach, the mortar holding my emotional walls together is crumbling.
I think he knows,
Owen says. My father smiles. I've known for a while. He lifts my chin, looks me in the eyes. There isn't a father who loves his son that wouldn't recognize him at any age. I'll admit the beard threw me off, but you've got my father's eyes. He looks at Owen. Always have. You can't go to work tomorrow, I blurt out. Can't say I was planning on it, he says, looking around to remind me we're stuck in the past. Then he grows serious. Why? I struggle to say it. Owen is right here. But this time the news won't be devastating, it will be hopeful. Tragedy avoided. He beats me to it. Something happens, doesn't it, at the mine, because of the earthquake this morning. Earthquake? I ask, but then I remember. The day before my father passed, there was an uncommon earthquake, the likes of which have been recorded throughout Black Creek's history, mysterious because they never seemed to have a cause. The date and time of my arrival in 1985, coinciding with the earthquake, couldn't be a coincidence. And all those past quakes, they must be periods in which this time-bending effect briefly touched down, like a skipping rock over a pond. What happens? My father asks, somber now. He's not sad about his own death, but he can see how profoundly it affected me. Kaven, I say, feeling no need to retell the story in detail. Who else was caught in it? he asks, more worried about the safety of others, no doubt already planning to upend time to save them, too. You're the only one who didn't make it.
Dad dies tomorrow?
Owen asks. He looks petrified. It's not gonna happen now, my father says, rubbing Owen's head. Even if I could go to work, I wouldn't, and I'd make damn sure no one else did until it was safe. Owen gives a little nod, but keeps his eyes locked on mine. You'll be okay, I tell him. But you weren't, he says. No, I say. And before I can elaborate, Enola emerges from behind a distant tree and shushes us. I didn't even notice her leave. Instinct chases my emotions away. I hold my breath and listen. The faint whine of small spinning motors fills the air.
Sounds like an RC plane,
Owen says. Close, I say, scanning the sky above the thick layer of trees. I've heard the sound before. It's a drone. Not the missile-firing kind, but given the destruction wrought on these people, I doubt its use is recreational. Owen spots the 2-foot-wide, 8-prop drone at the same time I do, whispering,
What is that?
Recon drone, I say. Someone is watching us through that? My father asks. Owen tenses, ready to bolt.
Should we run?
I don't know the answer to that question. Right now, running and staying have the same odds of getting us killed. I look to Enola as the other person with some kind of combat experience, hoping for an opinion, but she's vanished again. I never saw her, I realize. Despite being from a time long before drones and marine raiders, she's doing a much better job at stealth and evasion. Then again, she doesn't know that this drone is likely controlled by the very people we need to confront. I've never seen the drone before, but it is clearly a product of my time, a fact that is confirmed when the masculine electronic voice fills the forest once more. Who are you? It hovers close enough for me to see the camera, on its underside swivel toward my father, and then to Owen. State your names and... The camera locks onto me and the voice goes silent for a moment. Then, Owen McCoy? Who am I speaking to? I ask. Dr. Langdon. Dr. Elias Langdon is my boss. Actually, he's my boss's boss. He not only owns Synergy, he's also the lead scientist. What is he doing monitoring the feed of a security drone I didn't know we had? Can I ask, what year are you from? 2019, I say. And then I motion to my father and Owen. Same as them. We got caught up in whatever's happening. I'm not sure why, but I'm not about to fully trust my employer. Too much bad shit has gone down, including the brutal killing of these people. I look straight at the camera and hopefully at Langdon. Do you know what's happening? We're still teasing that out, Langdon says, but we're hopeful the effects can be resolved and everyone restored to their rightful times. And what about them? I motion to the dead bodies and watch the camera swivel toward them. Will they be restored to their rightful times? Not alive, Langdon says. Was that a joke? Was that supposed to be funny? I've only met Langdon a few times, but he didn't strike me as someone who'd be flippant about the deaths of 4 people. But yes, Langdon clears his throat. Their demise is unfortunate, but necessary, I'm afraid. They were heavily armed, and their actions could have severely undermined our ability to rectify the situation. Their group of radicals was not unknown to us. That's why you have attack drones I wasn't aware of? I ask. I hoped they'd never be needed, he says. And I think you'll agree that sending a robot into battle is far more humane than putting the lives of your security team at risk. I'm not sure Minuteman would agree, but I don't argue the point. It's the same justification the U.S. military uses to send its own drones in pursuit of terrorists. And it won't be long before robot battalions are rooting out the enemy, rather than men who can bleed and die. It's not even the distant future, it's the near future. Or if you're a high-tech research company with far-reaching resources, the present. Emotion sneaks up on me. You did put a member of your security team at risk. Did you even bother to identify the bodies? I assure you all members of your security detail are alive and well. Cassie. I say, glaring into the camera. Cassie Dearborn.
What?
Owen says, his voice rising.
Cassie?
Damn it.
As I said, all members of your security detail are alive and well, including Ms. Dearborn. Bullshit. We picked her up along with a few men from the early 1900s. Or was it the late 1800s? I'm having trouble keeping track. This is a busy mountain. She was with a young man. I believe his name was Levi.
Then who?
I glance at the masked body of the woman I was certain was Cassie. Mr. McCoy, Langdon says, would you like to come in out of the cold? Well, it's not cold anymore, but you understand. I'm sure your people would like to see you, and I think your friends would enjoy having walls around them. The mountain is not safe. I've noticed, I tell him, and then I consider our options, which are to either destroy the drone and try to sneak in, or simply follow the drone. It's an easy call, and I make it for all of us. Lead the way. The drone spins around and sets out on a slow upward course, setting an easy-to-follow pace. A flicker of movement in the corner of my eye catches my attention. I glance without turning my head and see Enola, matching our pace up the mountain, 100 feet to the side. I give her a subtle nod. She's made the right call by staying hidden. I hope Synergy is a safe haven for my family, but there's something off about Langdon, about Synergy's drone usage, and the fact that Cassie is, without a doubt, lying dead behind me.